Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you've never heard my show before, you can visit the show blog and learn more. The show started at, the beginning of 2011. The show blog is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, and I have really a great lineup today. Very excited. So first up, I'm going to be featuring the film Learning to Be Naked, Healing Through Burlesque, which is making its premiere at the 20th Annual La Femme International Film Festival this Sunday, 2 o'clock, I believe it's showing. And standing by is the director, Susan Wolfe, and featured burlesque performer, Mix Pucks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do I have both of you?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. So I have Susan Wolfe, the director, and Mix Pucks. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Very well, thank you. Yeah.
So when did this film finish up? Because I know it's making its premiere at the La Femme.
Well, we finished the post-production at the end of July. So that will be one of our very first screenings at the La Femme Festival. We're very excited.
Okay. So I'm going to turn it over to Mix for a second, Mix Puck. So when you were approached to be featured, what did you think?
I was really surprised, for one. Everyone else in the film, are cis women, and I am, assigned female at birth, non-binary human. And so I was a little concerned at first.
Sure.
About, how my story would be portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
But after speaking with Susan, and I mean, Susan's amazing. We got to have lots of long conversations even before we started filming. I felt like this was going to be a really good space to tell my little part of my burlesque journey.
Sure.
Story. So,
and Susan, without giving too much away, because I've seen the film, it's tremendous. I people are going to love this film, but. Could you tell a little bit about the film and then why this was important for you to make?
Sure, and thank you so much for your kind words about the film. Well, the film is about five performers who overcome certain challenges and traumas in their life through burlesque, and they find that burlesque profoundly changed their lives on so many levels, and it empowered them, and they find community and just, a whole different aspect to how they feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the essence of the film, is following these five amazing performers who were so generous in sharing their very intimate stories. And I can't remember, what was the other part of the question you asked? I'm sorry.
How did you decide to make this film?
How
did this come to you?
Yes, well, our previous film was about Mata Hari, who is the most infamous female spy of World War I. And while we were working on that film, one of the people who was helping us find talent, the extras for the film, was involved in the burlesque world. And as a trade, we started shooting some burlesque festivals and shows and became really interested in burlesque. And every idea I had about burlesque, every preconception I had about burlesque proved to be wrong. And that was so surprising, because we discovered that burlesque is not exotic dance performed for men,
mm-hmm.
but it's really a performance art, a very unique kind of performance art that is performed primarily by women and femme-presenting individuals, and it's performed for other women and the queer community mostly. And so that was something we didn't expect. And just the whole world of burlesque, which is moving more and more to embrace all different kinds of bodies, all different genders, all different ethnicities. So it's very inclusive. And, that's also really inspired us to show that aspect of burlesque and hopefully challenge people's preconceptions about what kinds of bodies deserve to be seen and celebrated, and change people's ideas about stereotypes.
Definitely. So, Mixpux, how has burlesque changed you in so many ways?
I mean, when I first learned about burlesque was almost 15 years ago at this point. I had just had my son, and I was going through postpartum depression, mm-hmm. and I stumbled upon a documentary about burlesque that changed my life, and it just kind of set me on this course of, like, wanting to see burlesque and absorb it and not really thinking there would be a place for me to perform, but I just really fell in love with the art form itself. And it wouldn't be until about almost 6 years or 7 years later that I finally decided to do burlesque and try it. And it's impacted my life in many ways. It it gave me an outlet to be someone other than, mixed Gabriel's mom. Mm-hmm. It gave me an opportunity to create art again. I felt like I just, with real life happening around you all the time, it doesn't feel like you have a creative outlet. So it gave me that. It also gave me a career. I had a really lovely job. I was a diamond broker for years.
Okay.
And I had a really nice, 9-to-5 job. But, we're now almost 7 years, almost 8 years into doing burlesque. And I run a art and culture organization based in Seattle, Washington. I am the creator and founder of two burlesque festivals that happen in Seattle, What the Funk, an All People of Color Burlesque Festival, and Fat Less Fest Northwest, which is an all plus size burlesque festival.
Wait, Mix, can you give me that website again? Because I can put that on the show blog.
Oh,
what is the website?
Yeah, it's Fat Less Fest Northwest.
Okay.
And What the Funk.
What the Funk? How appropriate you're on this show.
Absolutely. All funk music, all performers of color. So this, burlesque gave me an opportunity to find myself as an artist and also who is Pux?
Mm-hmm.
Who is Kia? And, it's given me a lot of life. It's given me stability. It's given me friendships that I just didn't even think would be possible. I've gotten to travel quite a bit. I've been all over Canada. I've performed in Panama. I mean, I'm hopping on an airplane tomorrow morning to go to Philly to perform in Philadelphia. It's opened up opened the world up to me. And I don't feel, I'm not as afraid.
That's great.
As I used to be.
That's what it shows in the film, that you're not.
Yeah. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. I feel that, Susan, that you captured the lives of so many fascinating women, brave women, mm-hmm. women that have gone through something physically, mentally, emotionally. You captured it in such an incredible way. And it's really also a story of they're doing this for themselves. They're performing for themselves, not so much the audience, but to just be themselves and to love themselves.
Yes, I would say that's very, very true. And I just have so much admiration for each and every one of them and what they've been through and how they've dealt with these very intense challenges in their lives. And I think it was so interesting that burlesque became the way that they found to really change and heal themselves on so many levels. But I think it's about the power of art, and in this case it's burlesque, but it's about the power of finding something that you're really passionate about and that allows you to really express your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what every one of them was able to do.
Well, you did it really well. I just want to tell listeners who are just tuning in, you're listening to Get the Funk Out, by the way. I'm your host, Janine, and we're talking about Learning to Be Naked, new documentary that's out that seeks to dispel stereotypes about what kinds of bodies deserve to be seen and celebrated. The film follows five extraordinary and unconventional performers as burlesque strips away their shame, gently peels off their insecurities, and slowly addresses their pain, including an amputee breast cancer survivor who proudly performs with her prosthesis and does not hide her scars, and a plus-size black non-binary performer, Mix Pux, who's with us now, who's a fierce advocate for BIPOC and LGBTQ artists. How does it feel, Mix Pux, that this film is out in the world?
It feels really good. This is not my first rodeo with a documentary. I produced one of my own. Some of our footage is actually in this documentary, which is kind of this beautiful kind of like meta moment. Mm-hmm. But it feels really good specifically for this film because I get to talk about this is the evolution of me. The documentary that I made, I was still really new to burlesque. And when I watch it, I see how like I was still holding back and still like kind of muddling through, kind of like a baby deer on, you know, fawn on these legs trying to figure out how to walk still.
Sure.
And when I watch this documentary, I can see that evolution. I can see how just like, you know, a few 4 years later, 5 years later, that I am really starting to come into my own. It's beautiful.
That's incredible. Susan, were there surprises along the way when you were making this film about the community you were stepping into?
I would say yes. I mean, it was just amazing to discover how talented these performers are, and just burlesque performers in general. They just are so dedicated, and every one of them expresses their own story in a different way, and they're all so original. And I think it's such an underappreciated and misunderstood art form, and it's just so much fun to go to a burlesque show. It's just a lot of fun. And the audience is there, and they're supportive of every single performer and enthusiastic. And it's just very different than, say, going to a dance performance, which is just more formal, and you know, the audience is quiet mm-hmm. while the performance is happening. And that is not the case in a burlesque show. It's just everybody's clapping and cheering. And I think it's so inspiring as a woman and just any individual to see all different kinds of bodies on stage and everybody supporting them. And I think that's very validating for the performer and for members of the audience.
Yes.
As well.
Well, you're changing perceptions of the people watching. And also, you know, it was very clear in the film too, is the connection to themselves as a performer. You know, you feel maybe you're embraced mm-hmm. for the first time ever. And if you struggle with anxiety or depression, et cetera, it feels healing to watch someone get on stage and the reaction of the audience. It just is incredible. I can see why, you know, these featured performers embrace this and continue to do it.
Right. And I think Pux talks about that in the film, and they might have some other comment to make now just about the connection that the performers make to themselves first before mm-hmm. they can connect with the audience. Because if you watch a performer who hasn't done that work, that self-discovery, that self-acceptance, when they get on the stage, the audience can feel that they're not really present. But mm-hmm. if you watch Pux mm-hmm. perform, Pux has the most incredible stage presence. But I'll let you comment on that, Pux.
Thank you. That's really sweet. That's something I've worked really hard on this. You know, my existence is, I'm a statistic in every, you know, every shape of the, you know, of the word of it, you know, black and fat, disabled, queer, non-binary, divorcee, I have a, you know, I have a child. And so these are all these things that, you know, society wants you to, you know, cover up and, you know, be more this, be more that, like, adult, do these things. And, you know, someone that suffers from complex PTSD and an anxiety disorder and had a really difficult relationship with my body. My mom was a model in the 80s. You know, I grew up hearing, you know, you have such a pretty face. You know, like lots of, I mean, I remember the first time I sipped a can of Slim Fast. I was definitely not in high school yet.
Wow.
You know, this is the internalized fat phobia, the outward fat phobia that I grew up in. And, you know, and still are inundated with, even as an adult, you know. I had to make peace with me and who I am. And that journey has been on and off stage. And it's, you know, it, there's this energetic exchange that happens between you and the audience. And if you come out there and you are not connecting with yourself and you're, it's difficult to connect with the audience. It's this ebb and flow, this give and take. You do a thing, they react. And when you start getting into this ebb and flow, it's a call and response, which is like, I mean, that's in, like, that's in my DNA. Like, that is, you know, indigenous African roots of a call and a response. And so I get to feel it on all these different levels. And Susan's right. When someone isn't feeling whole with themselves, the audience can feel that. And it, it's almost like a, like a rejection of themselves, right? And so you can kind of feel this, the audience kind of struggling to connect. And, I mean, that's not something you can teach. That is, that's a healing dream.
Yes. What is your preparation like to get that confidence and that stage presence?
Now it's kind of like, you know, I wake up on show day, and it's like, okay, it's show day. And it starts with self-care and, like, and I am the worst at self-care, and we're not talking about, like, going to the spa, like, drinking water, eating food, you know, making sure you stretch, which is just, it's hysterical because I've seen, I've done it, and I've seen many burlesque performers do it where, like, we're already dressed in costume, and we're like, oh, no, you did not stretch. And you just, you just see people doing a little arm across the body kind of thing, and you're like, that's not going to be anything.
No.
But, like, you know, it is a, like, taking care of your body, making sure that it's hydrated and fed. I listen to my music on loop. If it's an existing act, I'll watch it, I'll watch the video of my, my act a few times. And then, so I'll do that kind of in the morning or the early part of the day of the show. And then I stop listening to my music altogether. I just listen to things that, get me excited and get me kind of pumped up. And then I like to arrive, I like to be early, so I'll arrive to the venue pretty early. Usually I like to arrive like 45 minutes to an hour early. And the green room experience, I think, is the most magical thing for me. I love catching up with performers that I haven't seen in a while. So there's all this like giggling and laughing and do you have pasty tape? I don't know. Do you have pasty tape?
That's great.
You know, double check you to make sure that, like, things that are not supposed to be seen are covered.
Yes.
You know, it's all this giggling, and that laughter is very grounding.
Yeah, and calming.
You know, preparing yourself, right?
Sure. Very calming.
I'm sorry?
And very calming.
Yeah, it's like, it's beautiful. And so, and then I usually play some kind of phone game.
Which is?
Like after I'm done putting my makeup on. But everything is all about this kind of grounding and calming and centering oneself.
Okay.
I like, that's kind of my prep. And then, like, in terms of prepping, like, myself, I try to do, like, positive affirmations, and which is hard. It's, that's still hard. It's like my love language is, you know, words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, trauma being as it is, it's like sometimes it's hard for that to penetrate. And so it's still a daily practice for me of just being like, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're creative. This act that you're about to do is silly. You're going to be a giant croissant on stage in front of all these people. You know how to connect with people. You love this work. You are loved. You are valued. And so, like, that's kind of the mantra. And, like, that make it till you make it is true, and that even when you've done all the work, there's still days where you're kind of on the low end. And I don't know, there's something about staring, like putting on a pair of fake eyelashes and doing your winged eyeliner that, I don't know, kind of gets me in the zone.
Yeah.
It's meditative.
Sure. Was it you in the film that said burlesque is a political action?
Absolutely, it was me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are in a body that is perceived to be, feminine or you're being perceived to be a woman, we all know in this country that, like, bodily autonomy for women is laughable. We don't really get to make choices about our body.
Yeah.
So when you go on stage in a body that is marginalized in any way, shape, or form, if your body has been politicized in any kind of way, when you hop on stage, it's a political action. Even if you're doing a beautiful classic, you know, burlesque act and you have the feather fans and it's all ethereal and, you know, everything, and, you know, they're not pouring paint down their body and holding up a sign, you know, it's still a political action, because in this country, women don't have bodily autonomy.
That's right.
You know, I say my existence was politicized against my will from the first breath I took as a black, you know, human that was assigned female at birth. And so it doesn't matter how silly the act or how dramatic the act is, it's always a political action. There are people that, you know, get to have a say about how I live.
Yeah.
Without my consent.
Yeah.
And so it is a political action. So I have a burlesque school and I teach and I tell my students, I'm like, it's political. Don't let anyone else convince you otherwise. Unfortunately, just because of the society that we live in, everything's political.
Right.
Unfortunately. So,
yes.
Take your stand, take your place, take up as much room on that stage as you can to tell your story.
Yeah. No, that's so right. Misogyny is real.
Real.
Yeah, it's very real.
So, Susan, how did you name this film, Learning to Be Naked?
Well, that was inspired by Viola Panic, one of the performers in our film, who has a motto, learn to be naked, then get dressed. And I just thought, wow, that really describes the essence of burlesque and the focus of our film. Because, you know, learning to be naked is about taking off the masks that we all hide behind and exposing your authentic self with all of its imperfections. And that's not an easy thing to do. And burlesque forces people to confront their inner critic and their insecurities, mm-hmm. let down their defenses, and take the risk of exposing themselves mentally, physically, and emotionally. And you can really see that in the performances in the film, that each one of these performers has done that work. And it's a valuable role model for other women. So
yes.
that's really the inspiration for the title. I don't think you can find a more vulnerable art form. Getting on stage and getting pretty naked it really makes you very vulnerable.
Yes.
I think we all have had those nightmares of showing up somewhere and,
yes, and
not
you're naked.
Being prepared or being naked and,
yes.
and that feeling, that panic. So,
yeah.
I think that's the inspiration for the film is that motto that I think really explains the experience.
What is so beautiful, there's many beautiful things about the film, and then we have to wrap up soon, is that you mix pucks, for example, Eileen Wright is another one in the film. You put yourself out there, perhaps so other people can see themselves in you as a performer, and perhaps you are giving them the ability to heal through your art form.
Yeah. I wake up every day and I can't believe this is my life, and that this is the journey that I went on. And it is, I think about this thing that a burlesque performer used to say on stage all the time, and it's like every decision that you made was the right decision because it brought you here. I've been through some stuff. You know, Eileen has been through some stuff. We've lived a life, whole life before we landed and before burlesque took over, you know, our lives in the way that burlesque can. And I just want people to know that they can. It's not an act of bravery for me to be on stage. I'm an exhibitionist. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's not brave for me to be on stage. You're welcome is kind of my vibe.
Sure.
I want people to do the thing. Whatever the thing is, I want you to go do the thing.
Yeah.
And if seeing me do my thing and like the love and joy that I have for the thing that I'm doing in the body that I'm doing it and not letting that be a hindrance or anything like that, then do it. Live your life.
Yes. That was a beautiful message. So we do have to wrap up. I want to mention that the film is part of the 20th La Femme International Film Festival at the Regal Theaters in L.A. Live in downtown L.A. October 24th to 27th. I think you mentioned, Susan, that it's playing on, here it is, Sunday, October 27th, 2 p.m. in the Auditorium 12 at the Regal Cinemas L.A. Live, Olympic Boulevard. I put all the information on the show blog. Where can people find out more about either one of you? I did put the website, learningtobenaked.com, but do you, either one of you, want to throw out any other information?
Well, that's the best place to find out about the film, as well as our socials, which are under the name Viva Burlesque, our Instagram and our Facebook. That's the handle, Viva Burlesque. And Pux, I know you have several.
I have many. The best place to catch me, though, is probably going to be Instagram. Pux Aplenty on Instagram, or the website, mixpuxaplenty.com.
And it's MX. It's not
MX.
Yeah,
that's
MX.
Right.
Pux Aplenty. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, both of you, for calling in. And the film is outstanding. Congratulations. And you'll both be there on Sunday the 27th?
Well, Susan will be. Susan
unfortunately,
will be.
Pux is busy performing, but Eileen will be there.
Oh, great.
And my film partner, Makiele Morrison, will be there, and myself.
Okay,
yes.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Deneen, for having us.
You are so welcome. And if anyone missed this part of this conversation, it will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. Thank you both. Have a wonderful day, and congratulations again.
Thanks again.
Be well. Bye-bye. I've been talking about the film Learning to Be Naked. It's a groundbreaking documentary premiering at the 20th annual La Femme International Film Festival coming up at the end of the month. All the details are on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I have been in conversation with the director, Susan Wolf, and one of the performers, Mix Pux. We're going to take a little break, and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.